It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Mr. Mayor.
Hello, Mikey. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You must be rubbing your hands with glee. Listen, look at all the transport you've been offered.
Yeah, look, it's never enough, is it? I mean, not because I'm greedy, but it's never enough because we're going to have to run to stand still. But it is good. You know, I welcomed the announcements actually of both political parties. Last week we had National saying, you know, we're going to have to increase the Auckland Transport Alignment Project so that we're spending closer to $27 billion over the next decade on Auckland Transport rather than the $24 billion. And then they acknowledged that they would have to pick up a large share of that because of Auckland Council constraints on borrowing. And then they talked about electrification and a third main trunk. And then Labor came out with a pretty bold and positive statement too, talking about a congestion-free network which would rely on expansion of light rail from Centre City through to the Mount Roskill to the airport, around to the east of Auckland through Manukau, Botany, and up to to Howick, I think they were putting it, and then light rail out to Westgate in the west, and then light rail eventually across to the shore. So some things there.
Are both those propositions practical from your, can you see that if the money's there and they want to do it, that'll happen?
If the money's there and they want to do it, absolutely. Not just practical, but actually necessary. We're going to hit 2 million people in this city, you know, possibly as early as 2028, 2029. 2 million people. And that's
not if we have a volcanic eruption.
not if Donald Trump launches his hell and fury on North Korea.
Yeah,
which
let's not joke about that.
I was sitting here worrying about, you know, a thousand things that are affecting Auckland City, and I read Trump's statement. I thought, it's a little bit like the Cuban missiles. I think I'll go home and have a break. bit of a worry. You know, it's bad enough having one madman in North Korea. We don't want somebody intemperate in the United States.
Said the mayor of Auckland.
Yes, said the mayor of Auckland. if only those two deaf people would listen to me. But anyway, we won't get sidetracked on Mr. Trump or Kim Jong-un. But neither of those statements make the world a safer place for us.
No. So let's assume everything's going to be fine, as we have to.
And we're not all going to die through volcanoes or nuclear warfare.
And we press on through love and light, and the country becomes a better place. No matter who wins this general election, which don't look a lot more interesting than it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it is that.
How things at the council, though? Have we got some money at the council at the moment, or are we things, projects? I mean, you've been mayor now for how long?
Yeah, it must be about 8 months. It feels like 8 years sometimes. We've had a couple of pretty good weeks. We got $300 million from the Housing Infrastructure Fund that'll help developments out at Red Hill and Whenuapai in the north. We got another $600 million from the special purpose vehicle that I've worked through with the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance and Minister of Transport. So close to $1 billion extra for housing infrastructure. Right. That will be really useful. I mean, combined, that's going to create the potential for another 23,000 houses over the, but hard to know what time period that will be, but starting hopefully almost immediately in the south, and certainly, you know, we need a whole lot of those houses in the next 3 years as quickly as the industry can gear up to build them. So that's positive. And some positive stuff, you know, with a commitment from both major political parties and also the Greens around transport, and in particular improving public transport, busways, and in Labor's and in the Greens' case, light rail. So, you know, all of those things are pointing in the right direction. So I welcome those, and I'm going to insist on having a general election every year, because it seems that central government is far more responsive to local government when there's a general election.
Now, does it mean that these promises that they've made, like
these are pretty clear undertakings. Yeah. I mean, my relationship with government is obviously different, because that's an ongoing perpetual relationship. So we've been working with the government for some months on some of those announcements.
As Aucklanders, though, we should be, I mean, we have the benefit that you have spent a lot of time in and around government. And you know, and so you know the way it all works. And I guess that you can cut to the chase a bit quicker than someone who hadn't.
Yeah, I think it's an advantage to have both the personal relationships and on both sides of the house, and the knowledge of how government works. And I've kind of strengthened that because in my own mayoral office here, my chief of staff was up till a month ago the chief foreign policy advisor to the Prime Minister in the Prime Minister's office. So he's got good relationships right across the cabinet, and he used to work for me when I was in government. So as my trade private secretary, and I've got a former deputy secretary of Treasury working in my office. These are people that parliamentarians know, and know that, you know, that we're not doing flaky things. We are thinking seriously about what needs to be done, the money available to do it, how to get value for money, how to work collaboratively with government and not simply against them. And it was kind of helpful that the Prime Minister the other day said his relationship with the Mayor and Council was the best it's ever been. You know, and he and I come from different political backgrounds,
yep.
But we're both pragmatic, and we've both got the willingness to sit down and nut out a solution, a real solution to a real problem. And that's what you've got to do when you're Mayor of Auckland. You know, you've got to put pressure on government, but you've also got to be a realist in terms of their constraints and knowing what they can bring to the table as well.
Another job you have to do as Mayor of Auckland is you have to you're running the City Council, and I believe a bit of tension in the City Council chambers the other day regarding the statue.
This is the Auckland War Memorial.
Yep.
Yeah. We decided, or council decided before I came on, that they would build a memorial at the bottom of the domain looking up towards the cenotaph, and it was a $3 million project, and it was basically to mark the commemoration of the end of the First World War. And the concept was a good one. The landscape architects are called Rate Athfield. And these are the same people that have built the New Zealand War Memorial in London, the National War Memorial in Pukeahu in Wellington, and the memorial up by Parliament. So they're smart people.
Yep.
They've been awarded the major contracts. Unfortunately, because of a breakdown of relationship between the domain committee that was representing, you know, both the local board and council and the architects, we lost the project. We lost the plan for the project, which had been agreed on by the council. The architects walked away from it, and because those two things happened, we lost the chance of probably about $1.5 million in government funding.
Right.
So I came on the scene, saw what had happened, and thought, "Geez, what a mess! We need to tidy this up." So I used my call-up power to bring it up to council to try to get that project back on track. I'll tell you what I like about the project, if I just take one minute on it
You,
Mikey. This is a memorial not simply to the soldiers that went away, fought, sometimes died, sometimes came home traumatised, but it reflected the other side of the war. What about the people that were left behind? I think of my grandmother. You know, in the First World War, she lost her older brother, killed in the Great War. In the Second World War, she lost her youngest son. And I think, you know, okay, I have a huge admiration for the sacrifice of my great-uncle and my uncle, who was only 19 when he was killed. But what was it like to be my grandmother?
Sure.
You know, to have lost a brother and then a son in two consecutive wars. And this memorial is to commemorate those that stayed at home and made that sacrifice.
You need to drive around New Zealand and just see how
many... See all those memorials in the countryside.
See how many men were taken away from our population and never came back. You know, to imagine what it would be like to try and get everything back online with the pain and the sadness and the loss. You know,
absolutely appalling. Look, I mean,
very hard for later generations to get their head around that.
Yeah, well, not so hard for me in a sense, because, you know, my sister also lost her son in Afghanistan a few years back, and, you know, I'm very close to my sister. She lives in the States, but I've just seen the pain that she feels, you know, 7 or 8 years later, that one of her children was taken from her prematurely, 24 years old in the prime of his life. And, you know, so these things, you know, are pretty important to me personally, but I think pretty important to all Aucklanders. You know, where we are today is because generations of other Kiwis have sacrificed in the way that we've just been talking about, so that we've got a peaceful and a stable and a prosperous country. And of course I want to see that memorial done, and of course I was going to intervene on it when it looked like the whole thing had fallen apart. So, you know, I did that. The vote in the end was 15 votes to 4 in favour of what I proposed, and I'm very happy with that result. Now we've got to just get on and do the job, try to raise some of that money through philanthropy, some of it through another application to central government. But, you know, these are things that we should observe, honour and acknowledge. And, you know, I had no choice but to step in there and try to get the thing back on track.
Roger that. Now, the week ahead, Phil, for you, what do Aucklanders need to be aware of? What should we be looking out for? What's on the cards? What's big news for Auckland this week?
Yeah, well, I'm still watching what's happening in central government to see what new approaches are taken. Yesterday we had a pretty important day at our environment and community meeting. We were talking about homelessness and the cost of that to Auckland and the growth of it. You know, God, I was at a function Saturday week ago in Queen Street, and at about 10 o'clock at night I walked up Wellesley Street, and on the corner of Wellesley Street and Mayoral Drive there, we've got a bit of a shelter, a community fridge, some gardens, you know, vegetable gardens. And, you know, there were 15 people wrapped in blankets, some of them with sleeping bags, sleeping rough, just in one spot in the city. Yep. And I look at that and I think, God, what have we come to? You know, now, some of those folk will have mental illness problems, which is something else that we probably haven't addressed as well as we should have. Some of them will have alcohol and drug addiction problems, and we need to do more there. But, you know, that really backs up the Housing First strategy that we've talked about before. So we had a good session yesterday talking about that, and, you know, I've got to go back to government time and again on transport and on housing, because these are the overwhelming issues. We've got some environmental issues coming up.
They're the critical issues, though, aren't they, at the moment? Because, I mean, the homelessness thing is the people that we see are sleeping on the streets. That is at the end of that's, you know, that's at a certain part of their journey, which they've already gone through to get to that stage. You've
yeah,
had some numerous disappointments,
there.
Numerous
yeah.
pain, you know, unimaginable pain and hassle, and just who knows for what reason they've arrived there.
Yeah,
and because to get, you know, people just go, oh, look at the, there's a homeless person sleeping in the front thing. But so that's like, man, you've got to have some empathy.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
figure out where it's all coming from at the very beginning. So,
it's
yeah.
pretty awful. I mean, the other thing on the street, Mikey, that's worried me in recent times is 10 deaths through synthetic cannabis. And I'm thinking, what the hell? I mean, I've just drafted a letter to the police, you know. I mean, obviously...
I wasn't entirely impressed with government's response to that initially when there was only 7.
Yeah, you know, 10 people dying, that's phenomenal. You know, people dying on our streets because they've been poisoned by crooks making synthetic cannabis, not caring whether the people who used it lived or died. You might say that about the tobacco industry as well.
If someone running around with a cricket bat and killing people with a cricket bat, there'd be a manhunt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If there was a terrorist bomb and there were 2 people killed, we'd be outraged. Yeah, we'd be absolutely outraged. But here are these people, and some of them are gangs, cooking up this or spraying vegetation with chemicals that are killing the people who use them. You know, surely that's got to be at the top of our agenda. So I'm sort of entering into a conversation with the police about what we can do. You know, well, there must be a way of tracking down where this stuff is being manufactured, who's selling it, you know. So many people are being affected by it. Somebody is going to know the names of the sellers, and somebody who's selling is going to know the name of the manufacturer. I just want to check out that we're doing everything we can to address this, because 10 bloody deaths in a couple of weeks from people that have been killed by using this substance, that's got to be, you know, high on our list of top priorities.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what comes back from the police about that. We talk more about that next week, Phil, perhaps?
Yeah, if I've got a reply in time.
All right. Thanks, Phil Goff.
Okay.
All the best.
Thanks,
have a great
Mikey.
Week.
Good to talk to you. Cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Sure.